Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Ever since we talked about Rise of the Resistance and how Disney used the boarding groups to, you know, kind of make it a little bit better for everybody who was trying to ride it so the lines weren't, you know, 12 hours long for it and stuff, I've been thinking about how awesome that experience was. And I've been trying to figure out a way for them to implement boarding groups as a supplement or some sort of, you know, add-on to FastPass Plus, because, man, it was like the ability to sign up to ride something at some point during the day and then go and do other things is excellent.
So I saw this on the show notes, and I explicitly didn't, you know, tried not to respond to it and avoided it successfully. So my first question for you is how, and like, I do legitimately think there's an answer to this, but I feel like my question is the one that a lot of people would have, which is, how do you feel like this differs from FastPass? Because, I mean, isn't that essentially what FastPass does? It says you're going to sign up so that you can ride something later in the day and you can go do other things.
This would be different than FastPass Plus, the way that it's implemented now, because you wouldn't pre-schedule it. That's why I was thinking maybe in addition to FastPass Plus, like where you would be able to pre-schedule your FastPasses the same way that you would now in the MDE app. So let's talk about Hollywood Studios, for example, since we're already talking about Rise of Resistance. So you're going to Hollywood Studios. You make a fast pass for Tower of Terror, Fantasmic, and Star Tours. So you have those three fast passes, but we know that Fantasmic is at 7:30 p.m. or whatever it is.
So that now means, all your fast passes are locked.
Right. So you're not going to be able to use any more fast passes for the whole day. But if you could, when you got there, hop onto a boarding group for Rock and Roller Coaster, then you could use your fast passes up, but then after you get done with your, let's say Star Tours was at 10 and Tower of Terror was at 11. Once you've ridden Tower of Terror, you can still, quote, fast pass something without having to, you know, use up your FastPass Plus. And I know that this is exactly how FastPass works at Disneyland.
Well, and how FastPass actually used to work at Walt Disney World, remember?
Yeah.
Because you used to have the little terminals and you had to go and pop your ticket in there and you'd get the little piece of paper. And
that's how it was on our honeymoon.
Right.
I don't know. I just like, I really loved just being able to say, I want to ride Rise of the Resistance. Put me in a group and be done and go do whatever I wanted, you know, for the rest of the time and do use my fast passes that I'd already booked. I guess it kind of brought the feelings I had about like with old fast pass back, like original, you know, OG fast passes where you did have to take your ticket or send one person with everybody's ticket to the terminal, and
somebody had to go do the dead run at the beginning,
right?
Which wasn't a run because you're not supposed to run, so you walked very expeditiously.
But then you would receive a time, like you get the time where you come back,
right?
But I could also see them, or I guess I couldn't see them doing it because they would never do this, but I also think it would work if you just got rid of FastPass Plus and just let people do that from the app. Do boarding groups, but say you can, when you get into the park, you can get into two boarding groups and then, you know, just always be in two. And once you've used one, you can hop into another one. So everybody always gets two boarding groups that they can be in. I feel like they could do that, and it would relieve some of the, you know, line stress that FastPass has caused, because FastPass makes standby lines longer. And there was no better indication of this for me than Smuggler's Run. because there is no fast pass for that right now. And it was really like kind of refreshing to have one line of people. There was no confusion about, you know, who was getting to move when, and we really didn't stay in one spot for too long. It really felt like the line was moving pretty constantly, and it was because there was just one line, and every time they filled the, you know, pre-show room with people, that one line moved, and there wasn't like we got to let 30 fast pass people in and then 15 regular line people. I mean, the line just moved and it felt really good. And so I feel like that kind of boarding group thing where they were, instead of letting you pick what you want to do, if they were kind of behind the scenes managing what people were when, well, I guess you couldn't do that. I was going to say, and then you just don't even have a separate line, but you couldn't make everybody do a boarding group.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I'm wondering, because I remember...
I mean, could you, though?
Well, okay, so there was talk a while back, I want to say Toy Story Midway Mania was either A, supposed to be tested, or was possibly tested for a short period with no standby line, with fast pass only, which is... I do realize what you're saying, but it is ostensibly what boarding groups are, right? It's just fast pass once you get there.
Right.
So I don't.
It's basically paper fast pass.
Right. So.
And that's what was it, Max Pass at Disneyland? That's why we both loved Max, the idea of Max Pass so much. It's because it's just digital paper fast pass.
Right. And you actually had to be in the park and everything to get it. You didn't do it ahead of time. Which, you know, opened it up for people who didn't know, you know, what is it, 90 days out now? I forget. If I'm not planning a trip, I'm always forgetting.
It's 90, but, yeah.
Yeah, who weren't thinking 90 days out, oh, I need to make sure I schedule a fast pass, so I've got fast passes. No, they get there, and then day of, they go to that little, you know, kiosk, and it's like, well, you're going to get a fast pass for the Pixar movie experience, whatever that thing is called. Turtle Talk with Crush and Journey into Imagination, which, you know, I love me some Journey into Imagination, but I've also never needed the Fast Pass that I got for that. That is strictly a Fast Pass burn attraction. You know, maybe Living with the Land, you actually need a Fast Pass for. So I do, I like the idea of possibly, I guess the way that I would see something like that working, right, is possibly frustrating some people. Because the best way that I could see that working is limiting the number of fast passes that are available before, right? So if they cut fast pass availability down to, let's say, 70% of what is available now, and then held back that other 30%, you could use that other 30% to do same day fast passes that would be, you know, at the attraction or in the park or whatever, you know, essentially your boarding groups. But then those would just be going through the fast pass line. So I'm not 100% sold about
that. If you were gonna do this, we'd have to live in a world where there were no standby lines, where you had to basically get to the park and say, I want to do this first. So okay, let me throw this one at you. So there's no fast pass lines. There's no standby line. There is just one line, and the only people who are in this line are people who are in a boarding group. And let's just use the word boarding group because that's what, you know, they're called.
It's as good as anything else.
But so what if instead of being presented with FastPass Plus availability in the app, you were presented with boarding groups with the, you know, time that you were able to go get in line for this attraction? And you got two. And so you could, in Hollywood Studios, say, let's say it's 7:30 a.m. You get there, you're waiting to get in, and you see, okay, there's Rise of the Resistance availability at 1 p.m. And there's Tower of Terror availability at 8, so 30 minutes from now. You get in the Rise one because you definitely want to do that. And then you also get in the Tower one. And you go over there, you know, go grab a coffee or whatever. You go get in line for Tower at 8. You're done at 8:30. You pop out, you open the app up again, and Rock and Roller Coaster has availability at, you know, now. There's a group available now, open. Hit the thing, go get in line, go ride Rock and Roller, you're out at 9. And then you look and, oh, Smuggler's Run's available at 10. So you go hop on that. You go do other things, go over to the Galaxy's Edge, go check out the Droid Depot, stuff like that. And what if you just did that? And you basically were getting in line for something, but it didn't require, it's basically, you know, a fast pass, but it doesn't require that you go to the thing, go to the attraction first, you know, to get the fast pass. I feel like at that point, if you have an attraction that, and I don't know the number of Fast Pass Plus that they do, that they issue, I have no idea what the numbers are, but let's say, I think Smuggler's Run has a capacity of like, what, 1,800, I think, people per hour?
Let's pretend like that's the, because I have no clue, let's pretend like that is the number, sure.
So, you basically, you give 1,800 of these boarding groups out every hour, or maybe you give 2,000 of them out every hour, and you just count on not all people are going to show up all at once. That keeps the line down, you know, that would help make everything, you know, I feel like you wouldn't wait more than 30 or 45 minutes for anything if they did this, because I think with one line and something that is operating at capacity, you don't wait that long because you're not splitting the line. You're not standing there while like all the fast pass people go through. You get in a line. There is a prescribed number of slots available. They know that. And that would let Disney dial in wait times like on the fly. And we know that they care about that. We know that they're tracking with your Magic Band. We know that they're tracking you through the parks. So the ability, I feel like, to like literally say, okay, for the 10 to 11 hour, the wait for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is going to be an hour. And then at 11 to noon, we're going to dial that down to 45 minutes because we want people to, let's say we'll dial that up to an hour and 15 minutes because we want people to go over to this other thing that we'll make sure has a 30 minute wait. I feel like they could do some major crowd control stuff with that. That would really improve the experience for a lot of people.
Yeah. So you know, talking about Smuggler's Run, that is an interesting thing because it's something that I really hadn't thought about. But when Nancy and I went and did Smuggler's Run, something kind of funny happened. So, you know, did you do the little app thing with the scanning and all that kind of stuff?
No.
When you were in? Okay. It's, to me, that was a lot of fun because it was a whole other thing to do. And so there are these boxes in the queue at mm-hmm. Smuggler's Run that you can scan and you can complete the little puzzles to, you know, get more credits and get different items and all this kind of stuff. So she was walking on ahead and I said, well, go ahead. I'm going to scan a couple of these boxes and I'll catch up to you. Right. Well, I'm standing there and all of a sudden I see a large group of, you know, like a pretty consistent group of people or, you know, stream of people start coming. So I'm like, oh, I better, you know, run on over to catch her. So I run on over to catch her. But the line was moving so frequently that I'm like, never mind. You're going to have to stop and just let people past you so that I can catch up to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I am so trained as to. The line moves every 5 minutes and then it mm-hmm. stops because of all the fast pass people having to go through. I hadn't really thought about that, but I honestly feel like that was part of what it was. And yeah, it was a nice change of pace to have the line moving that frequently. Now, to some extent, yeah, it does sound like this is old fast pass made anew with I think probably some good changes and much more like Max Pass in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know that that's a bad thing, but now let me take it to a whole other level for you. And this is a level that I'm going to suggest while thinking in my head, I don't really know that I like this idea, right? But I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. what if instead of giving you two choice, like instead of getting there and making two choices and then making a choice and then making a choice to make, what if at the beginning of the day you said, or, you know, whenever you said, I'm getting here at this time. And please recognize, I do remember that this was a thing that was kind of talked about, but I don't think we were ever fully told how it might all work. But what if it said, hey, do you want to ride this, 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 and this, and this? Because I can go ahead and just schedule that out for you today.
I think that's that Genie app.
Yeah, well, so it is, but the Genie app, we were just told, is going to try to give you the best way of doing those things. But what if the way that the Genie app was able to do that was by getting rid of the standby lines?
Yeah, so I am, as you and I are talking, I am leaning further and further toward, like, standby line. Fast pass is broken, and it makes being in the standby line pretty terrible. And I didn't. So Smuggler's Run in November was the first time I've ever experienced an attraction with no fast pass. I mean, even Lights Motors Action had fast pass. You know, like, I have never waited in line for something where there was no fast pass line, and it was amazing. And I don't think I fully realized why it was amazing until we started talking about this, but that was such a good experience that I think I'm in favor of just getting rid of fast pass, or getting rid of, I think I'm in favor of getting rid of standby lines. Now, to answer your question, I think that works really well for people like you and me. I don't think someone like my mom would want to sit there and plan out her whole day.
Well, no, I'm not saying you plan out your whole day. It just says, hey, here's, you know, and again, this is what the Genie app is recommending, but I'm saying I never really saw how this works without getting rid of standby, but it just says, here's your whole day. And this way you can see everything in the parks, or here's another option where you can see, you know, just about everything in the, or whatever. But like, here are some options so that you don't have to choose. You don't have to try to think about what you're going to go see next. I'm just going to tell you what you're seeing next.
That is okay. I love the implementation of that, where it tells you, here's an itinerary for you. This will get you everything in this park. You know, and like, you even put a star rating. This is going to be 3 stars, you know, out of 3. Very difficult. You are going to be running and gunning the entire day. But this itinerary will get you everything. You will do everything available to do in this park. Tap here to book it. Or here's one where if you want to, you know, over today and tomorrow at a much more leisurely pace, you can experience everything in this park. Book it. I think that is a great idea.
Now, see, at the same time, I don't like this idea because I am so used to being able to game the system, even whether that's from using the FastPass system.
I did so much of your like refresh and
it works, you know, so well, doesn't it?
Pop in, pop out. Yeah, it got me a test track. Like, it was like test track was available like at 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. And then it was like there was one for like 7:45. And then like a 4 p.m. just popped up one of the random times I went in there to do it. So yeah, it does. And that sucks. Like, honestly, it's not good that works.
Well, but somebody drops it and then suddenly it's available to you. Or, you know, like whether it's gaming the system in that way or saying, I'm going to go to Animal Kingdom and I definitely want to be able to do, you know, Flight of Passage and River Journey, and knowing that if I have to, it might take me 5 or 6 hours, but I can go wait in 2 standby lines and I can make sure that I get both of those. Whereas something like this might mean that if I show up late enough, you know, like in the last 5 to 6 hours of the day, where I could still get both of those in if I was willing to wait in standby lines without standby lines being there, it's possible that this, you know, that this no standby system has given away all of those, you know, all the availability to those attractions. And I definitely don't like that. I don't like, you know, the amount of flexibility something like that would need to allow me, and you know, because I don't
you being
go,
Brad, not you being the royal, like,
right,
not you being the
right
average
my,
consumer of
me,
Disney.
Yeah, exactly. Me being the type of person that I am, where, you right know, I'm going to want to try to get in more than one, you know, I want to get in two or three go rounds of Rock and Roller Coaster. And if getting two or three rounds of Rock and Roller Coaster costs me one Alien U-Haul ride, that's fine with me. But, right, you know, it's going to want, because it's Disney's going to be setting this up to try to get as many people to ride all the attractions as possible and to, you know, what, I guess, spread the crowd. I know it's going to try to put me on Alien U-Haul. And, mm-hmm, and so, I, you know, there are those aspects that I don't like, but for the sake of the people who are not Disney fanatics, I do see a lot of benefits to it.
But what if it could...
God, so am I talking myself into Genie app? I really don't think I was a huge fan of that when it came out.
Here's where I see the benefit of having this app plugged in to the, you know, the Disney hive mind, and eventually, you know, having this machine learning stuff, you know, chew on all this data, is what if you were at Hollywood Studios and you said, I got to do Rise of the Resistance. I got to get in there. And it says, yeah, cool, man. There's a, you know, there's a group available at 1:00. Here's enough stuff to keep you busy until 1:00. And one of them is swirling saucers. You know, so it's, you're giving it input on, here's what's important to me. And then it is going through and saying, like, you know, you didn't say that swirling saucers was important to you, but if you want to be busy until you are able to go and get in line for Rise of the Resistance, here's what you can do. You know, and it's gone into the wait time system and calculated wait times and calculated the amount of time it's going to take you to walk from here to here and all that stuff. I mean, having this quote smart, you know, intelligent assistant app that's plugged into all of the Disney systems and whatnot, I mean, just could be incredible. And I think this is where it really shines, is, you know, what you were saying is like making itineraries and maximizing a normal guest experience, because you and I are not, I think both of us and our normal traveling parties, you know, being our wives and stuff, are not so worried about hitting every single thing every time we go. And it's more a, let's have a cool, you know, fun experience. But I think that, you know, from what we've talked about, you know, forever, most people are going and they're probably only going once or twice in their life. You know, I think you and I are very lucky to have gone as many times as we have.
Oh, definitely.
And just being fortunate enough to have the, you know, whatever, the time, the money, all that stuff to be
able
to do that.
The connections, because trust me, folks, just so we're clear, Brad doesn't have the money. Brad has the connections, and yeah, since those are actually dying soon. That's a whole other story. But yeah, I'm about to start paying rack rates on some stuff, and so my trips are about to become fewer and much further apart, my friend.
And you have a child, and so do I, and all that Disney money goes to daycare pretty quick for me.
Doesn't it, though? It's so weird. Yeah. But at the end of the day, so I do remember, like, when the Genie thing was announced, it was more about, like, customized itineraries,
mm-hmm,
which I do realize is a lot of what we're talking about. But like I said, I feel like the crux of this, what turns that from, okay, that's a fun thing that I would recommend to somebody who's never been before, possibly, into killer app, is it has the, you know, it's no longer limited by standby lines, because when it's only limited by standby lines, it's a lot freer to make a lot of suggestions. But I don't know, the thing that makes me kind of oogie about it is they're gonna want to put me on some U-Haul, or they're gonna, you know,
but you have to
throw me over to Little Mermaid or whatever it may, like, and don't get me wrong, I actually, I shouldn't put Little Mermaid in the same with Alien U-Haul. And I even like Alien U-Haul, but...
And I understand what you're saying. You would have to sit
at least I've ridden Alien U-Haul, like some people on this podcast. But anyway.
You would have to trust it. You know, you would have to be willing to say, like, just do it. You know, that's one thing I love about travel agents.
Yeah, I have to trust it not to game me, and...
Right.
I feel like Disney wants to game me.
But yeah, getting rid of standby, and isn't some of the gaming that Disney's doing, like with splitting up, you know, Fastpass groups in Epcot and Hollywood Studios and stuff like that, that's them trying to game you. That's them trying to manage.
That's why I have to burn fast passes on things right. So that I can, okay, I got through those initial three. Now I can finally get some of the good attractions again.
Right. But I think this would make them game you less because they would literally be in control of the length of the line. If you didn't have standby and you made all of your guests, whether it's at a kiosk at the front of the park or if they give out, I don't know, devices, Android phones and little Android somethings to, you know, you can rent one for free when you first get in so that you have access to.
Wait. I know what this is. My Pal Mickey 2.0.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Exactly. It's a very smart Pal Mickey. If you get rid of standby lines, if you take the, this is not necessarily great, but if you take the ability away for someone to just go and get in line for something and you let the computer system, if you let that go in and manage all of that, you have control, complete control over how long people are waiting for things. And in real time, you can add or remove groups. You can add, you know, 5% more tickets or group access, whatever's for something on the other side of the park. And really, like, kind of control where people are in the park and what they're doing. And I mean, it's kind of big brothery, you know, but at the same time,
no. It's not kind of, it's big brothery. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's straight up 110%. That's big brothery. It's not kind of, but the question is how much, what are you willing to give big brother for the trade-off? Yeah. I don't know. I keep talking myself in and out of this. Meanwhile, I'm sure all 10 listeners that we have left are now going to leave us in indignation because we have somehow said that we are now okay with getting rid of standby. I can't, like, I want to kick myself for even suggesting a world without standby lines.
Go pay attention to how much better it is to wait in line for Smuggler's Run than it is to wait in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And you will see what I mean. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train sucks. That line is awful. Smuggler's Run was longer than the Mine Train ride, the Mine Train line, but it feels better. It feels faster. And you don't ever lose interest in what they're doing. You're not standing by that engine they're testing for long enough to get bored with it. Whereas you get bored with all the stuff, all the entertainment stuff in the Mine Train line because you stand around it for 20 minutes. It's like the pre-show with Hondo. You're not in there for long enough to like get the feeling like, okay, this is an animatronic and this is a pre-show and it's looping. You get in, Hondo says his thing, you walk out. And it's very fast and it's very realistic. It's very lifelike. I mean, you wouldn't stand there while a person just stood there, looked off into the middle distance. You know, you get in there, he says what he needs to say, and you leave. And it feels really good. So I just, like, yeah, it seems crazy to get rid of standby lines, but maybe it's not.
Maybe. That's all I'll give you. Maybe that's all I'm going to give you.
And I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.